Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. In the time between his temptation and his arrival here in Nazareth, Jesus had developed a great following. It had achieved even greater popularity among the people. A report had circulated around the region surrounding Galilee, including all of Nazareth, about this Jesus. So Jesus made it his practice to be in a synagogue each and every Sabbath day with the purpose of reading the scriptures and teaching the crowds gathered to him. So our gospel passage for today begins. That same passage ends on a much different note. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. People who had known Jesus and his family throughout the past 30 years had cast all of that knowledge aside. There were no more feelings of warmth and pride for their hometown Jesus. They were filled with such utter hatred for him, that they were willing to stone him by casting him down the cliff to his death. What happened? What happened to cause such a dramatic shift from the popularity of a beloved celebrity to the disdain of a hated traitor? Jesus happened. And an epiphany of his true identity and what he had come to do is what happened. In short, he ruffled feathers. He shook the very preconceived notions of his fellow Jews about himself and the role of the long-awaited Messiah. And it all began innocently by reading Scripture. Being handed the scroll of Isaiah the prophet, Jesus found the specific passage from Isaiah 61. He read to the people as Ezra did so long before. The people understood the words that Jesus read to be the voice of the Messiah talking about himself. He would come and proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to captives and the oppressed, and he would restore sight to the blind. All eyes were fixed on Jesus when he had finished reading those words. And then Jesus did what any rabbi would do. He sat down, showing his readiness to teach. What he said ruffled their feathers, flustering them a bit. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. They began to be astonished by him, not knowing exactly what to think about this man. They thought they knew. In their uncertainty, they wondered, is this not Joseph's son? Revealing not faith, but doubt. They could not wrap their minds around the fact that this Jesus, their Jesus, could be the Messiah. Or in other words, they were not humble enough to accept Jesus' claim. That is not unlike our own reluctance to hear God's word properly proclaimed from unexpected or unlikely sources. There were, no doubt, elder leaders of families in the synagogue that day who would find it hard to swallow this idea that the young rabbi before them could possibly fill the large shoes of the Messiah. Having heard the word about Jesus and all that he was doing in Capernaum up near the Sea of Galilee, these Nazarenes would also want to see the miracles of Jesus show. Knowing this, Jesus responds to their wondering expectations. Doubtless, you will quote to me this proverb, "Physician, heal yourself." What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Rather than scratch them where they itched, Jesus prophesied their rejection of him. "Truly, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown." Jesus would not oblige their request. He would not heal himself by granting miracles at their request for the people of his own hometown, thus healing himself. His teaching to them would have to suffice. It did not. The teaching Jesus gave his fellow Jews did not suffice for them because it further ruffled their feathers. Now, when someone's feathers are ruffled, it is because they hold to a thought or an idea very strongly, that it is almost one with who they are. They are upset then when someone contradicts their idea or speaks out against their thinking. It is felt as an attack deep to the core of the individual. That is what these people felt when Jesus taught them about Elijah and Elisha. And even knowing all of this in his great wisdom, Jesus did not back down. He did not allow the possible rejection of his teaching to hinder him from teaching. Instead, Jesus presents the truth of Elijah's and Elisha's ministries. They too were rejected in Israel, as most true prophets were. And Jesus drives the point home that there were many, many widows living in Israel in the time of the 3-year famine and drought. So many were in need of God's miracle-working prophet. Yet Elijah was sent only to one who was not even a Jew, but a Gentile from Zarephath. That God's prophets would help a Gentile and not fellow Jews was extremely offensive to their thinking. Jesus also includes Elisha in the teaching and how there were many in Israel who suffered from leprosy. Now, leprosy posed a double threat to the Jew, for it didn't only attack their bodily health, but it also attacked their ritual cleanliness. Rather than heal fellow Jews in desperate need of it, Elisha healed only one who also was not a Jew, but a man from Syria. Jesus' message to the Nazarenes was complete, and they were livid about it. Jesus was claiming that the Messiah was to reach to the Gentiles as well. A common theme in our season of Epiphany. But in their arrogance, the Jews did not want such a Messiah. In their minds, Jesus had crossed the line. They were so filled with wrath that they were willing to end his life. But Jesus walked through the crowd without being harmed. In his leaving, Jesus gave the angry crowd the miracle that they no longer wanted. We need the revelation that happens in this passage. And it is indeed proper that it is read in this season of Epiphany. For Jesus prophesies his own coming rejection and suffering, setting the tone and the stage for our season of Lent. What happened in Nazareth on that small stage? What happened in Jerusalem and Israel on the larger stage, sending Jesus to his death upon the cross? And the rejection of Jesus continues today. Many hear of who Jesus is and what he came to do, and they reject him, dismiss him. That is not the Messiah they want. Christ's church faces the same outcome. As we cling to Christ and him crucified, we cling to the one who was rejected. And so we are rejected by the world, but we are not rejected by God. Rather, through Christ, God accepts us as his own, righteous in Jesus, forgiven of all our sins, and all because Jesus was not afraid to ruffle the feathers. Amen. And now the peace that does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ. Amen.